And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We have got a loaded show for you here today. Lots to come on the Nashville Predators. We'll be joined at 8 o'clock by Trey Wallace from Rocky Top Insider, getting to the latest with the Tennessee Volunteers with him. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, drops by at 8:30. Our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 9 o'clock to get into the latest on all things NFL, get into the Deshaun Watson situation a little bit as well, coming up at 9 o'clock. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
I'm fine, as long as I can get some of those shirts, man.
Yeah, we'll have to get you some shirts.
I hope everybody has seen. In fact, I need to retweet
this. We'll tweet it out here in a little bit.
Yes, it is.
I kind of teased it yesterday with Darren that people should stay tuned if you're a fan of the vibing the Predators have been doing and that Johansson has created, that maybe there'd be a T-shirt coming down the pike, and there was. We're vibing, Robbie. It's out there, baby. The T-shirt has been released. It's at Journey Risk True. You can find it. I've tweeted it out. We'll tweet it out a little bit later. Porth has hung up a nice rally towel from the game last night. We're vibing.
Vingan
here
wants
on the studio.
Vingan wants to strangle everyone.
He does. He was legitimately upset.
Now, I will, like, I get these things get battered to death. They do.
Sure.
This is. But the T-shirt, I mean,
it's pretty amazing.
It's pretty awesome. Like, did you sit for someone? Was there like an artist rendering? Did you sit there?
No, I wish.
As someone painted your face? Like,
now, I basically just sent in a photo. I would have loved to have
sent in a photo.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they kind of worked their magic with it. There were a couple different drafts of it, and we got it figured out, and that's what we came out with last night.
Like, you look to me like one of the elders from Braveheart.
I'll take it.
You look kind of tough, you know?
I know. I'll take it.
You look kind of tough. You look tougher than, you know, our buddy Kenston, man. I love you, Kenston. You know, we were at the game last night, and so Stillman and Caroline and I took a picture.
Yeah.
And Kenston's like, oh, Jared is jacked, muscle bound. Like, what?
He's been working out, man.
Kenston watches all of Jared's Instagram workouts.
I guess so. I'm like, Kenston, man, the Titans have no needs in the draft, and Jared is jacked, so... But we still love you, Kenston.
Hey, it works out, man.
And I'm gonna buy you a We're Vibing Robbie shirt too.
You should. I'm selling those right now. It's working out pretty well.
I mean, I'm getting one for everyone in the family.
You like the way it turned out?
I love it.
That's good. The
I want some more of it.
People were trying to figure out like exactly who I look like. Like I had people reach out to me and say, you know, kind of look like Chris Mason on the shirt, which I get. I mean, bald, bearded.
Yeah,
it's a good
beautiful combo.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's good. We'll talk to him about it a little bit later today on the show, but check it out at Journey Risk True on Twitter. We're Vibing Robbie. The T-shirts are
for sale. We're Vibing Robbie.
And we're going to have fun with it. Preds were vibing again last night, Rex Road. A 5-2 win against the Chicago Blackhawks. They improve to 6-0 against the Blackhawks this year. You were at the game. What did you think of the Predators last night?
Yeah, they were good. You know, obviously you get those two quick ones to start the third and you basically end it, but I thought they were good. You know, I think that fourth line is continues to be a really important part of this team. And, of course, Janot scores again. You cannot take him out of the lineup. I'm sorry. He's in, man. He's in.
It's tough to argue with you right now, I'll be honest with you.
I just, like, if, you know, obviously Duchesne, and we're going to talk more about Duchesne in the show, but that was big for him to get a piece of that puck and get it in. But Granlund, to me, is, you know, and so Brennan, my 13-year-old, was with me, and many times I said, no, see, watch Granlund on this play. Watch him over here. Watch him over there. You know, just all over the ice.
Yeah.
Makes key, smart little plays and creates a lot. So, I mean, that to me, he's the guy who stood out.
Yeah, he stood out to me, too. He played really well and did not score.
Yeah.
And Cali Yarncroak finds his way on the board last night. Unbelievably. Ryan Porth now up to 3 in this competition.
Pulling away.
Duchesne finds his way on the board last night, so you're up to 7. Arvidsson hit one off the post on a breakaway, so the listeners remain at 7. So now the standings are 7 for the listeners, 7 for Rex Road, 3 for Ryan Porth, and 1 remaining for Robbie Stanley. And Predators pick to click.
You'll always have that Tolvanen and goal.
I will.
Hey, listen, again, your guy, I think, was the best player.
Thank you. That makes me feel really good.
So, I mean, at least you have that. You picked a guy who played very well.
He played 23 minutes and 27 seconds in a game they won by 3 goals. He was out there for 23 minutes as a forward and did not score. 2 assists, though.
Yeah, 2 points. 2 points.
Yeah, played. So. Played really well.
You're not salty or anything, are you?
I wouldn't have been salty if Yarncroke didn't score. But when you have a two-goal lead on me now, I'm basically insurmountable at this point.
I would have been salty finally giving up Yarncroke if Duchesne didn't score, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm sure you would.
Sure. So I expect some gratitude tomorrow on the show when we have Matt Duchesne on for our weekly visit.
Yes.
I have a feeling that there's a little causation here.
It could be. That's the second time that you've done this.
That's
with
right.
Duchesne. His first of the season and his first since coming back from injury.
How many goals does he have?
I think that was his fifth.
Fourth.
That was his fourth. So half the
goals. I'm responsible for 50% of his goals.
There you go.
Pick him again Wednesday. He'll score.
There you go. Maybe this is the formula for Joe Rextro moving forward.
I don't know, man.
He did Yarncroak for, 7 games in a row. Maybe now it's Duchesne.
Or Joe Shane.
Or, yeah, Joe Shane.
I may not be able to resist Yarncroak again. I don't know, man.
It
doesn't feel right to not go
with Yarncroak. Ryan Yarnpork. Irresistible here on the program.
Someone said Yarn Porch. Someone said Yarn Porth. A lot of combos.
When he's out there making plays, it's Yarn Porn.
Could be. Absolutely could be. Another good game for Cal Yarncroak last night against the Chicago Blackhawks. UC Soros last night, Joe. Fantastic once again. Didn't have to be great in the game, but made some key saves at key times. Like Dylan Strome right now has got to be just sick every time he sees UC Soros in the net. I mean, it was the last time they're at home. He had like 7 chances against Soros. Couldn't get any of them to go. He had another couple of good looks last night and just nothing. Soros giving him nothing right now.
Yeah, he was really good. I don't know that there were a ton of outrageous saves, but a lot of good ones.
Yep.
A lot of good ones. And, that first goal is always important. The Blackhawks, DeBrincat, I think, tied it, right, in the power play?
Yep.
Yeah, and that's a really good power play. That's a really tough power play. But they kept answering them, and they just seemed to have, like, this confidence. I mean, 6-0, pretty amazing. And it just, like there's no way they're going to go 8-0, right? Right?
I don't know, man.
This
is the second time in the history of the franchise that they've beaten Chicago 6 times in a year. They were, I believe, 6-2. Against Chicago in 2005-06. Not the same star power in Chicago.
Yeah,
that was
back when the Wolves got more attendance in Chicago. You know, big hockey town Chicago.
Yes.
God, don't even get me started on those people.
A lot of bandwagoners.
Oh, jeez. Like as soon as they started getting good. Oh!
Look at my
Chelios jersey.
You know, in normal times when there are at least some Blackhawks fans in the building, I do kind of a look around to see, all right, who's real here? You've got a lot of Kane jerseys. I understand it. Taze, Duncan Keith, that's all fine. But when I see a Tony Amonte jersey walking around, like, you've been through some things. You are real.
You're a real one. Exactly. You're a real one.
Eric Daze.
Yeah. Oh, yes. A little Eric Daze jersey. Yes. Don't see a whole lot of those, though.
No.
It's amazing.
They actually had a few people in the building last night.
Yeah. What was it like being in there? I was covering the game from home last night. The capacity raised to 33%. What was it like being in there? What was the vibe like?
I mean, Bridgestone Arena was vibing last night.
Yeah, it was.
It was vibing.
It was a
it seriously on the broadcast, and sometimes, you know, when they were chanting at the ref or after the goals were scored, it didn't feel normal. But you, for the first time, one of the few times this year, I noticed like, oh, the crowd's really going. Like that was, I think the capacity made a difference last night.
Don't underestimate that it was 90s night. So I didn't even realize that until, and for the most part, that was good. Rubik's Groove. played
yes.
between periods, both periods. I mean, I've paid to see Rubik's Groove at two different bars, I'd like you to know. So I was pretty excited when
saw
I
saw for free.
Wait, it's Rubik's Groove. Because like one of their singers dresses up like Pee-wee Herman.
Oh, good.
But so they have an 80s show and a 90s show.
Large Marge?
What's that?
No Large Marge out there from Pee-wee Herman?
Large Marge? I don't remember Large
I'll
Marge.
I'll show you.
Didn't Is that know. On the show or the movie?
That's the movie. Right. She's a truck driver.
Oh, yeah. Golly. Well, that's been a long time. But they have an 80s show and a 90s show. I think the 80s show is better, but the 90s show is very good. However, I forgot they play Blink 182. Oh,
and yeah. they did last
they,
night.
They did. I mean, they did an accurate rendition of it because any garage band could learn it in 5 minutes, but they did fine.
They also played My Own Worst Enemy by Lit.
Yeah. Which sounds just like Blink 182. Yeah. But there was a lot of good 90s jams.
Joe was vibing.
I mean, they were rocking out some Soundgarden. Like, that was – and a little Right Said Fred. They're all over the map. It was good. Also, the Sega Hockey, that was cool. So, Sega Hockey on the screen, and then they had it updated, you know, like with the Preds and the current Blackhawks. So, I'm telling Brennan about how – I mean, I used to just dominate that game with Jaromir Jagr. Long time ago.
Does he know who Jaromir Jagr is?
Yeah, I mean, he's
– Okay.
I mean, I've told him about Jaromir Jagr because he's always like, who's the best hockey player ever? Who's the best basketball player ever? You know, stuff like that.
Do you say Jaromir Jagr on the best hockey player ever?
No, but
he's up there.
I say, the Penguins have had some generational players. You know, you go Lemieux, Jagr, you know.
Crosby, Malkin. No,
Crosby, yeah.
Not a bad run for the Pens. Not a good run for the Blackhawks against the Predators so far this year.
Great tweet by Ryan Porath. 17-22, is that what it is?
Oh.
They've won 17-22 against Chicago dating back to
the first round in 2017.
First round in 2017.
That's what
How about
you call
that?
Dominance, my friend. And speaking of that, are the Predators now full-time owners of the Chicago Blackhawks? We'll get into that coming up. Two more massive games for the Predators against Chicago coming up this week. Could they finish this off? Could they go undefeated against Chicago this year? We'll discuss that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're vibing, Robbie. Vibing, 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 vibe, 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 vibe. We're vibing, Robbie.
Oh yeah, the vibe continues last night for the Nashville Predators. A 5-2 win against the Chicago Blackhawks. They improved to 6-0 against Chicago so far this year. The second time in franchise history that they've beaten Chicago at least six times in a season. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porath here with you on this Tuesday morning and streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. So, Joe, obviously it's been a dominant stretch for the Predators against Chicago. As Porath has pointed out, winners of 17 of their last 22 matchups against the Blackhawks. So this is quite the run of success against a team that earlier last decade was terrorizing you left and right and terrorizing the rest of the National Hockey League as well. So the Predators have gotten some payback here against the Chicago Blackhawks. Two more huge matchups against Chicago coming up later this week. The question now is, can the Predators finish this thing off? Could they go for the sweep against Chicago? Now, to the Blackhawks' credit, like I thought the Predators a couple of times last night in the first two periods were on the verge of maybe blowing that thing open and pulling out. Like the first period, I thought the first 10 minutes of the first period, the Blackhawks were just holding on for dear life. And then you get the power play and DeBrincat scores and you make a game of it. Then Predators get up 3-1. The Blackhawks respond and make it 3-2. So I thought they did a good job of holding on until the third period when the Predators came out and popped two on them in 41 seconds. And it was 5-2. Game was over at that point. Now that we've seen it, I mean, there's six games worth of sample size now this year, two more remaining. Can the Predators pull this off, Joe Rexroad? Can they sweep the Blackhawks and go 8-0 against them this year?
They can, but I'll still be surprised. I mean, the Blackhawks, they're playing for a lot. They've got these two games at home. How much does that mean? I don't know, but it's got to be a little better than being here, right?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, if you beat a team six times, how could you say you couldn't do it two more? There's a little bit of law of averages in there and just a little bit of, I mean, the Blackhawks' entire season is on at least winning one, I mean, if you, lose to. Both, you, it's basically we're going to just be talking about the Preds and Dallas. And, you know, Dallas, which just gets a whole bunch of Detroit right now.
And by the way, Dallas passing Chicago last night in the standings. So the Predators get it done in regulation. Dallas still 3 points behind the Predators. They get a shootout win against Detroit. So Chicago at this moment, no longer in fifth. They are in sixth place in the Central Division as well. So to your point, Dallas has three more games coming up this week against the Red Wings. They almost got them last night. It's 2-2 heading into overtime. And Dallas has been awful in overtime slash the shootout. I think last night was the third game that they've won all year in overtime or a shootout, and they've been there like 14 times.
I was about to say, they play half their games in extra time.
Yeah. So the Red Wings with a good effort last night. The question is, can you get something similar in one of these next three games? Like, I don't expect the Red Wings to win two of them. Could they get one of them in regulation? That would help you a lot.
Yep.
If you're the Predators.
If, the Red Wings can give you help on one time, then you know that's all you can reasonably ask. Dallas does have three with Tampa Bay, two with Carolina, one with Florida ahead, and those three teams are all. I mean, how important is it for any of those three to get the one? I would say it's pretty important. You'd rather play, right? You'd rather play either of those teams or any of those three rather than play one of the top teams. So that's good news, you know, if you're a Preds fan, is the fact that Dallas is going to be playing. And, of course, the Preds finished with Carolina, so they're not out of that either. But the fact that those teams should be engaged and wanting to win, and you got some tough ones ahead. But I agree, get one game from the Red Wings, that would help you. And that's amazing, to your point. Dallas, 12 overtime losses. I mean, no one else in the league has more than like seven. No, I guess Montreal has nine, but other than that, that is a big number.
They've been brutal.
Think about how many
overtime.
Yeah, I mean, think about what position it could be in. Just split that, you know?
Yeah.
But Chicago, you know, if Chicago loses the next two, they can basically just pack it up. And that's – I think there's going to be as much desperation as you could muster from a team in these two games.
I think you're right. The question I have is it going to matter? Like, they just have a tough time scoring against this Predator team. And look, I get it. They've got Kane and DeBrincat. So you can never just assume that they're not going to score because those two guys are incredible, particularly, obviously, Patrick Kane, who is maybe the best U.S.-born player of all time. So, I mean, they are really, really good. He is dangerous, so you can't just rest on that if you're the Predators. But this is a pretty big sample size this season where Chicago's just had a tough time scoring against the Predators. The goalies have been great. Defensively, the Predators have shut them down. And Ekholm talked about this a little bit yesterday in the pregame press conference, and he said, you know, some teams you just match up better against, and then he like kind of caught himself in the middle of it and was like, I'll leave it for people to decide if that's Chicago or not. But, I mean, they've won six in a row. I think with the way
– I could be talking about anybody right now.
I could be talking about anybody right now. It was pretty funny the way that transpired. But it makes sense. Like, we've talked so much about the forecheck the Predators have had and how relentless they've been and how, you know, difficult that's been for other teams to manage. Well, it's really difficult on other teams and their defensemen. And quite frankly, Chicago's defensemen suck. Like, they are not good. Duncan Keith had
a
great career.
Yeah.
He's not the same anymore, and they just don't have a lot of good players back there. Connor Murphy he's okay, but right now Connor Murphy's like their number one defenseman, and that is a problem. So I think the Predators have really been relentless on the forecheck against Chicago, and that has given their defensemen a lot of issues. And I don't see – as long as the Predators continue to play that way – I don't see that issue changing in these next couple of matchups. Now, maybe if you're the Blackhawks, you can overcome that. But I do think the Predators and the way that they've played, that style in particular is very effective when you have a group of defensemen that are not as gifted moving the puck like Chicago.
Yeah, and Chicago's going to need a goaltender to step up too,
yep.
You know, and you know, win a game for them or keep them in a game. I mean, I think I don't know. I don't know how many of those goals would be totally on the goaltender, but you got to stop more of them than Lincoln did. So, I mean, that's a big part of this too.
I feel like Lincoln has been really good against six other teams this year.
Yeah.
And then when he's faced the Preds have owned him,
which is weird.
I would agree. I would say it's probably like, I was kind of surprised they didn't do it last night, I'd say it's likely they go with Subban on Wednesday. I mean, Subban, he shut out the Red Wings on Saturday. So I was kind of surprised they didn't go with him yesterday. I would say it's pretty likely he's in there Wednesday. Not going to make any goaltending changes if you're the Predators, more than likely, though. Probably sticking with what you got right now.
I would say so. I would say so. Yeah, it's a lot. Just and he's, you know, I think in person it's easier to catch this, like what Hal Gill was talking about. You know, there are some play. There are some, because he's so quick to react and anticipate things. You know, he makes some saves that really look very routine that aren't actually, and other goaltenders might be more dramatic about them. But I mean, he is locked in.
He's locked in, and he was locked in again last night. But I mean, to their credit, they spent a lot of time holding on the puck last night, and I get it. I mean, it's a totally different matchup than Carolina. And by the way, like if you missed the Carolina-Tampa Bay game last night, I had that on another screen. You talk about some high-level hockey last night, Carolina and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay gets it done in overtime. Their rematch is tonight. So looking forward to that one coming up tonight between Tampa Bay and Carolina. But it's just a totally different matchup. The Predators held onto the puck a little bit more. I mean, the goal Ekholm scored to go up 3-1, you're talking about like a little chip out of the zone from Johansson. And Ekholm's kind of streaking down the wing there. He looked like a left winger. He just ripped it. I mean, it's great play by a defenseman. I mean, it's great play by anybody. But then you factor in it's a defenseman and his name's not Roman Josi. He looked pretty smooth out there.
He did look fast.
He did.
You know? Yeah. No, it looked like a clearly better team against a clearly inferior team.
And it was interesting because Jeremy Colleton, coach of the Blackhawks, last night in his postgame press conference was talking about how, you know, they played pretty well. He thought the Blackhawks played well and had a chance right there at the end. And, you know, a couple of calls. He was mad about Connor Murphy getting his helmet knocked off on the fourth goal scored by the Predators. So it's all about perspective with this. That's the way he's going to feel. He knows he's got two more matchups against the Predators. I've heard some people say Chicago's been right there against Nashville, but when you lose six times in a row, like how right there have you actually been?
Yeah, well, there's been, you know, there have been some close.
Sure, I mean, there have been some close games.
Tight grinder games between these
two. But I've heard
two.
Some people say, like, Chicago has been, it's been even in these matchups. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
No, man. Yeah. I mean, last night was not an even matchup.
No.
So, and it's, yeah, it's 6-0. I mean, at some point, that matters. I just, look, if it gets to 8-0, that's kind of astounding. Because you know, I would say that the Preds in their current state, so what are we talking, 14-19? 14-19, right?
Yep.
Definitely, I think, a better team than Chicago. But all year long, I wouldn't say that. I mean, no. Some of these wins happened when they weren't very good. So it just doesn't, to me, make sense that they would turn this into 8-0, but we'll see.
The Preds also didn't catch Chicago when Chicago was at their best. I think all of February, they didn't play, and February was when the Hawks went on a run there.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the first two games were the first week and a half of the season or something like that. You get it done in overtime, I think twice, to open the season, or
one
shootout.
One overtime, one shootout, and those were two games that were just boring to watch.
Man.
Yes.
Rough watch. And then, you know, Josi makes the one play in overtime. You feel good about it, but my goodness, that was some rough hockey. Thank God it was not like that last night. A little bit more excitement out there on the table for the Predators. And more excitement about Matt Duchene last night. He is back in the lineup, his second game after missing 22 games because of injury. He finds his way on the score sheet last night, gets one in the back of the net. Could this be a springboard for him moving forward? And how do Predators fans feel about Matt Duchene right now? We'll discuss all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This hour of Robbie and Rex Road is brought to you by Trane. Get a great deal this spring on a new Trane heating and cooling system. At Trane, they test so it runs. Visit traneinfo.com to find your local dealer and learn more. It's hard to stop a Trane.
Here comes Ekholm in. Ekholm, his shot, he scores! Matthias Ekholm gets the Predators' third of the night. A puck tipped inside the Nashville blue line, turned into a two-on-one with Ryan Johansson, and Ekholm is able to cash it in. The Predators win round one of this three-round battle this week against the Chicago Blackhawks. The final, Predators 5, Blackhawks 2.
Predators get it done 5-2 last night against the Chicago Blackhawks. They scored two goals in 41 seconds to begin the third period to pull away from the Hawks. Now 6-0 against the Chicago Blackhawks on the season with two more matchups coming up later this week. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe, a goal scorer last night that was good to see get on the board and find one to get in the back of the net. Matt Duchene, your pick in Preds Pick to Click yesterday, finds a way to get on the board. It was a really cool play. Matt Benning with the shot. Eric Halla redirects it. And then Matt Duchene redirects the redirection from Eric Halla. So a double redirection on the play. It finds its way into the back of the net. The Predators take a 1-0 lead. But I thought that was a pretty important goal for Matt Duchene. You could see it in his response. He was very animated in his celebration. You know that that's been weighing on him for a while. Now, obviously, he's been out of the lineup for 22 games, so it's not like he's just been sitting here struggling to score for the last 2 months because he has not been playing. But it's not been a productive season for Matt Duchene up until this point. He's got 9 points in 25 games now with the goal last night. How big could that goal be in terms of maybe getting him going a little bit here? Now, he did play on the third line last night again on the wing with Eric Halla and Nick Cousins. And based on the way the second line played last night with Cunning, Granlund, and Yarncroke, probably not breaking that up anytime soon moving forward here. So, in all likelihood, still going to be on the third line moving forward, at least for now. What kind of a spark could that be for Duchene last night?
Well, the Preds... I hope it is one, and I thought that in two games, he's played pretty well. I've noticed him. He's had some. He's out there some with Johansson last night too.
Yep,
which was interesting. And they almost had a couple real fancy plays between them. But he needed one badly, and it's well documented. Our buddy Adam Vingan wrote the story basically yesterday. You know, this is a stretch where the Preds really need him to step up. And look, imagine if you can have it's nice to have a third line winger like that.
Yeah.
You know, with what the accomplishment and the ability he has. So they need Forsberg and Tolvanen back, especially for the power play, but just in general. But Duchene could really help them and really help himself too, because I mean, let's face it, at some point you look at the numbers, you look at the salary, you look at the stats, and you say, okay, this is not good enough.
Yeah.
If he were to have a hot streak here, help them get in the playoffs, play well in the playoffs, that could change the script.
It was interesting to me, and Adam brought this up a little bit yesterday on with Darren Donegan Chase, and I felt the same way. It was interesting on Saturday when they announced that he was coming back and he was coming off of IR and was going to be playing that night against Carolina, the reaction from the Predators fan base, I'm not going to say that they were like dreading it, like, oh no, but it was very lukewarm in terms of the reaction that Matt Duchene got for coming back in the lineup. There were people that said, okay, well, does he need to be in the lineup? Is he a guy that absolutely is guaranteed a spot based on the way this team has played as of late, which I knew when Matt Duchene was healthy, he's going to be playing. I mean, he's making too much money. He's too important. He's still a good player. Now, is he worth $8 million? I mean, the answer would have to be no right now based on the production that he's had up until this point or lack thereof. But it was interesting to see the fan base's response to Duchene coming back in there. I'm curious, if you're a Predators fan, like, how do you view Matt Duchene right now? Because you've got the big contract, there's all these expectations coming in, and it did feel like basically a 3 or 4 year courting process to finally get Matt Duchene in here. It happens. He comes in free agency, starts off great. I think he had like 10 points in his first 5 games or something like that. He was unbelievable. And then it's just been pretty meh since then with Matt Duchene. He is in an interesting spot right now with this fan base.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's that does bring tourists to mind a little bit.
Yep.
Because remember right after that move.
That may play into some of this too.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, I think with DeShane, the thing is here, like, DeShane doesn't get the benefit of, you know, some of these guys. It's like, oh, look at that effort. Look at, the little plays that make a difference, which are important to coaches, which are important to winning hockey games. And he's expected to do that, too. He's expected to fall in and play, you know, the way the Preds have been playing and basically blend into their game and what they've established as kind of an identity. But then also, oh, and you got to score goals too, you know. I mean, ultimately, that's how he's going to be judged, is what the score sheet says. When you're a centerman or just a player who makes that much money, that's just how it's going to be. So I don't think it's too late for him. I mean, last year there was a lot of other things beyond him that didn't go well. And obviously we know, what happened in the bubble, was a big mistake.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not staying outside.
Interesting that it's those two guys involved in that, DeShane and Turris, And it wasn't, and again, I don't watch him, like, I don't watch DeShane and have the same level of, like, last year with Johansson, like, what is happening with this guy? I'm just like, well, you got to score. Okay, I see you. You're close. You're making plays. You're putting yourself in position. You're not finishing. Johansson was more like last year, I think. More like, yeah. What's up with this guy? What's going on here, But either way, it's the two guys that are making that much money, that are supposed to be your 1-2 punch down the middle that can match up with anybody out there, and they both have not come close to that.
They've not, and I agree. Like, I think especially in the early part of this year, I mean, DeShane was all over the place. He was playing well. I mean, the underlying numbers, the analytics supported that, he was one of the best players on the ice for the Predators, and, he was kind of leading the way offensively other than Forsberg with some of the chances that he was creating earlier this year, and they just weren't going in. And, right now his shooting percentage, it's in the fives. I mean, it's a career low for him. So, I think you factor some of that in as well. I mean, you think back to a couple of years ago when he was with Ottawa/Columbus. I mean, his shooting percentage was really high. I mean, that factors into this too. There's always some regression to the mean. And look, I said this when he was a free agent. He's going to get overpaid. Like, is Matt DeShane worth $8 million? Probably not. But there were reports out there, and I know you remember this, Joe. There were reports out there when he was a free agent that he could get like nine and a half, which I always just found to be absurd. So it almost felt like when he signed here for $8 million, that it was a little bit of a hometown discount coming here because this is a place that he wanted to be. But DeShane, I mean, he's typically been, a 52, 55, 58-point guy, and he's had a couple of 70-point seasons thrown in there. But I've always felt like the expectations on him were a little bit high coming into this anyway. And look, that's part of it. You sign that contract, you're going to have those expectations. But I think some people, when he came here, thought that he was like the second coming of Connor McDavid. And that was never going to be the case. I mean, that was never going to happen.
Well, it was a case of just a name gets played over and over and over again. It becomes this, this pursuit. Like you said, years of pursuing and, he likes country music and bought a property and all that stuff. And I think that what he did in the postseason for Columbus,
it's great.
It's kind of like in the NBA draft. I mean, there's some guys who absolutely skyrocket their stock based on their NCAA tournament play. Sometimes players come out of nowhere, or they're at least rise way up the board because they were great at that moment. He was great in that moment for Columbus, and I think that also was part of this. But, yeah, anybody who's followed along said it when he came in, like, this is a very good player. It's a very good signing, but this is not like a 100-point guy here. So calm down. He's not going to come in here and set the world on fire. But you just want him to be around a 60-point player. If he's a 60-point player for the Preds over a long period of time,
it's pretty good. You'll take it.
Sure. I mean, there's always going to be players on teams in any pro sport who were acquired on the free agent market and are paid more than their production.
Well, and again, I think there's just this perception out there that he might be gone next year, or that Johansson might be gone next year. And I'm not saying that that's not going to happen, but it's going to be very difficult to make one of those things happen if you're thinking about leaving them exposed with the Kraken. Like, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe Seattle is just ready, willing, and able to take on one of those two contracts, and they really want either Johansson or Duchene. But I think if you're the Predators, you've got to approach this more of, all right, we got to get this figured out with him. Like, this has got to be something where we make this work. You want to make it work. I mean, how long have they been looking for two centermen down the middle that you feel great about offensively? You feel like you've got it. I mean, you feel like you had it when it was Johansson and Turris, and we know how that went. Duchene coming in now, I think Johansson's played a little bit better as of late. But this is something that's hard to find. Like, you've got to find a way to make these two guys work if you can, and maybe you can't. Like, I think that's certainly on the table, that maybe it's just not going to work. But we're 2 years into this right now. He's got 9 points in 25 games this year. I think there's just this assumption from some out there that he's going to be left exposed and Seattle's going to take him, and then you can wash your hands of it. And I would be very surprised if that happens. So I think if you're the Predators, you've got to approach it with the mindset of, all right, we've got to find a way to help him get through this and to make it work and to put him in a position where he can be as productive as possible.
Right. And then another part of this is, again, last night watching Granlund on the penalty kill and watching Granlund in the defensive zone, the offensive zone, the neutral zone, it's like, boy, they could have a really good 1-2 punch with one of them and Granlund.
Yeah.
And so that goes to, well, they didn't trade Granlund, so if they're going to get in, he's going to be a big part of that. But also, he has to be part of the equation of if you I think you probably have to have two of those three guys, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's probably, you're probably not going to have all three of those guys.
Probably not.
In the future.
And right now, I think I know which way Predators fans probably vote on that. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. What are your thoughts on Matt Duchene? Can the goal last night get him going here? Do you like him playing on the wing? And how do you feel about Matt Duchene and his tenure with the Predators moving forward? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll talk about it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Right now, I'm discussing Matt Duchene. He finds his way on the score sheet last night for the Predators, scoring the first goal of the game for the Predators. They win 5-2 against the Chicago Blackhawks. And now asking the question, can that springboard Duchene moving forward here? Can he kind of turn this thing around and get back to being a productive player here with the Nashville Predators? 9 points in 25 games this year, scoring a goal in his second game coming back from action last night after missing 22 games because of a lower body injury. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in David, who's calling in from I-40. David, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Doing great. Hope you are, too.
Good.
I am great. It is an absolute honor and a pleasure to be able to talk to y'all.
Well, thank you.
I am transplanted from Birmingham 16 years ago and have just fallen in love with hockey. I'm learning daily about hockey. I really enjoy y'all's insight and listening to y'all.
Well, thank you, David.
Appreciate it.
Question. I have a couple of questions. One, what did Duchene and Taylor Harris do in the bubble?
Okay, and there was a play in the bubble where basically Turris scores a goal. It's a big goal at the end of the game. I believe it was a game four? Game three. It was game three. Yeah, in the bubble against Arizona.
Yes.
And Duchene was offside on the play. Didn't tag up, so that took the goal off the board. Predators eventually lose
that
game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about something else.
No.
I got just a couple of little small questions. Will the Predators re-sign Pekka, or will he be moving on to retirement?
I would say I don't know what the answer is going to be, but if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say slightly over 50% that he retires. I don't know that. That's just a guess on my part, but that would be my guess.
I'd go about 75-25, but
so Joe's a little higher than I am.
but I'm also just guessing.
Final question. What are guys, and y'all don't have to discuss it just sometime because I listen to y'all every morning. What are some of the former Predators that we didn't sign, like Curtis, Watson? What are some of those guys doing with their new teams this year? I haven't been able to find where they're playing. I've gone on the website.
Yep.
If y'all could add into that, I would surely appreciate it. And once again, I thank you for your time.
Hey, David, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We'll talk about that. Turris right now.
He's out.
He got put on waivers. So he's not going so hot for Kyle Turris. James Neal, not going so hot. Austin Watson's been okay with Ottawa. But, he's not,
he's hurt, though, right now,
He's hurt right now, and yeah. So, Bonino playing really well right now for the Wild, so.
Craig Smith has been okay with the Bruins.
He's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Pretty consistent, Craig Smith,
Yeah.
20-goal dude.
So, Bonino and Smith playing really well. Others, not going so well.
Yeah,
they lost in the offseason.
Turris
is done.
It really is amazing.
Just how quickly this happened.
Yeah. What he was when he came here and what was expected, and it's just gone the wrong way for him. And on the Duchesne topic, Duchesne is he just turned 30. So there should be plenty of good hockey left. It's also he's also a guy who's been in this league basically since he was 18.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of tread off the tires with him when you talk about projecting him forward. But still at 30, in good shape. He hasn't, everybody gets some injury. It's not like he's had some massive injury history.
No.
You would expect some good, productive hockey ahead from him.
Well, he's kind of voiced his frustration with us every week when he joins us on Wednesdays at 8:45 about how, the stretch that he's been through being hurt was maybe the second longest stretch he's had his whole career with an injury. So you're talking 22 games. So, to your point, it's not like he's just been – injury riddled his whole time. I still think it's there. I still think he's a good player. I think if you can find a way to get him figured out here and playing and bought into your system and just using his skill set in addition to working the way you need him to work, I think that works. I think he's good enough to where he can still be in an 82-game season, a 55, 60-point guy every year, at least for the next few years. Now, when you get to 35, it's a little bit different at that point, but I think we all knew that when the contract was signed. Even Roman Josi signing an 8-year deal, he's going to be like 39 when it's done. Probably not going to be the same Roman Josi at 39 as he is right now, but you live with that, with the contract that you signed with some of these guys. So I don't think it's a lost cause right now for Matt Duchesne. I realize there's a lot of frustration. I get it. He's got 9 points in 25 games. That's nowhere near good enough. That's got to be better, but I don't think it's you just totally pull the plug on it right now either. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch to the program. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Retro.
Good morning, guys. Regardless of what happens, whether we make the playoffs or not, I've been encouraged this year by the transformation of the identity of the team. We're, again, a hard-working team, a difficult team to play against, and that leads me to my question about Duchesne. This is purely out of curiosity. I have nothing against him whatsoever. Does he have the reputation of, of being a kind of a soft player? Because I've never really heard him referenced in conjunction with the other people who are really, carrying that lunch pail mentality. And I was just curious about that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We'll talk about it.
He's a skill guy.
It's
score.
It ends to Bob's point. I don't think Duchesne is ever the guy that you think about battering people out there and throwing them aside. When Ryan Johansson is on his game, he is physically imposing. He is difficult to knock off the puck, and he'll just throw you out of the way if he has to. Matt Duchesne doesn't really do that. Now, he is difficult to knock off the puck, and I think he's strong. But I will say, I think Duchesne, the goal he scored last night, those are the types of goals that you need to see a little more of. He's got to find a way to get to the front of the net. And, the speed he's got, the playmaking ability, that's all great. But sometimes that works. Sometimes at least the turnover's going the other way. I think the goal and the type of goal that he scored last night needs to be more of what you see from him, and that is finding a way to get to the hard areas, creating some traffic. Doesn't have to be a redirection every time, but just getting there for a rebound, something like that. That's not been there as often with the Predators as I thought it would. And that's, you think back to the playoffs that we talked about with him at Columbus. That's where he scored a lot of his goals, is just hanging out in front of the net on the power play. Like, that's got to become more of a part of his game here in Nashville.
Yeah, and I feel like he's been there in those areas quite a bit in his two games back. You know, got the one goal, but it's pretty obvious he's making a concerted effort to be there. You know, with Duchesne, you talk about his production. He had the one in 16-17 for a brutal Colorado team. He had, you know, a 41-point year in 77 games. But really since then, you're talking 59, 70. Before that, 59, 55, 70. I mean, he's been – and even like last year, as disappointing as it was, but again, I think it's the team disappointment part of it, and also just the, oh, Duchesne's coming in and he doesn't like the world on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, look, 42 points in 66 games. So basically it's like a 50-point season, right? Right, yeah. Around there. It's not disastrous.
No.
You want more than that. But like again, realistically, you want him to be about a 55 to 6-point guy.
Yeah.
And that's what you signed up for.
I think you want a lot of those big goals too. Like, what do you have last year? 13?
Right. Yes, this is true. So 13 goals, and that's, you know, I mean, that's his lowest goal total now, basically, of his career since he got in the league.
Right.
I mean, he had 14 and 58 games at Colorado and 11-12. But, yeah, so, I mean, you want him to find the back of the net more, without question. 17 goals right now in a career 91 games. You want more than that.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JD text in, which player causes you more concern coming down the stretch? Ryan Ellis, Matt Duchesne, or Ryan Johansson? I think Ellis is playing fine right now.
Yeah, what's up with Ellis?
I'm not concerned about him at all. Now, could that be a long-term move that they make at some point to address other areas? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, we'll have the offseason to talk about that. But which player causes you the most concern coming down the stretch? Ellis, Duchesne, or Johansson? I mean, I think Johansson's playing pretty well right now. So, I mean, I guess the answer would be Duchesne, but he's been back for two games. So, he's got a goal in two games since coming back. Can he keep this up? Do they keep him on the wing? At some point, if they do keep him on the wing, do they move him up in the lineup a little bit? Like, I still think a lot yet to be determined with Duchesne, but I like the way Ellis is playing right now. I think Johansson's played a lot better as of late, so I feel pretty good about those two.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's, you know, again, two games, but he got a goal. I don't think there's a big concern with any of those guys, but certainly the other two. I mean, Ellis is a big cog here. He does a lot of things out there for this team. And I agree with you. I mean, Johansson is active, and you notice him. Last night he had a couple chances at some real spectacular plays, but he's out there throwing people around a little bit, doing good Johansson things.
Vibing.
There we go. I hope everybody's seen that shirt, by the way.
We're going to tweet it out here in this break here. Joe Rexroad has tweeted it out as well, so we appreciate that here on the program. When we come back, we will switch gears, get into the Tennessee Titans. Looking ahead at the draft, we've talked a lot about defense, but there's a guy who's really important in the mix of all this with the Titans that they don't need to forget about when it comes to the draft. We'll discuss that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.